I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. That's the first verse we're going to put up on the monitor. And tonight we're going to be teaching on the vision of faith, the vision of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 27 says, by faith he forsook, referring to Moses. By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. But he endured. Now we're going to talk, one of our lessons is the endurance of faith. But the Bible says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So right away we learn something about faith. Right away, right at the stop, we learn that faith has to do with the invisible. Okay? Faith has to do with what you cannot see with your physical eyes. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 17 and 18. So we're talking about the vision of faith. Say the vision of faith. Okay, what is vision? Vision, the word vision means to see. It means to see. Vision means to see beyond what is and what can be. Now, all through the day, you had some experiences today. Some of them may have been positive. Some of them may have been negative. Some of them may have been challenging. But vision is seeing beyond what is. Okay? And it's seeing what can be, what can become. Okay? Now, Let's look at what the vision of faith is. If you're taking notes, listen at this, and we're going to look at our text in a moment. What is the vision of faith? The vision of faith is seeing everyday life through the eyes of faith. It's seeing what?
Everyday life
through the eyes of faith. So that means seeing people through the eyes of faith. And I talked about the colorblind church. If we saw people through the eyes of faith, there would be no prejudice, no racism. Right? But not just seeing people through the eyes of faith. God wants us to see events through the eyes of faith. He wants us to see things through the eyes of faith. We have to train ourselves because we have been conditioned to see things through our natural sight. So faith people, we're going to have to train ourselves to begin to look at life through the eyes of faith, not just in church now, but when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, whatever you're engaged in, we have to train ourselves to start seeing life through the eyes of faith. So let's look at our proof text here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, now watch what it says. It says, for our light affliction, if you're writing notes, underline light affliction, which is but for a moment. I highlighted these key words. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It will work for us. Watch this. A far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Watch this. While we look not, while we what? While we look what?
Not.
Now notice what it says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are
not seen.
For the things which are seen are
temporary.
Or temporary, subject change, but the things which are
not seen
are
eternal.
Now, I want you to keep that up there. Just keep that up there on the monitor. And let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that text for a moment. Right away, we see that there are two ways to see things. That verse right there, that text right there communicates to us that there are two ways to see things. We can look at seeing things with our physical eyes. Okay, but it says we don't look at things which are seen. We look at things which are. Well, that's strange. How can we look at something that's not seen? If it's not seen, how can we look at it? Okay, so it tells me that we got to look at it differently. We got to look at it through the eyes of our faith.
That's right.
We got to look at it through the eyes of, that's the only way you can see things that are not seen. Okay, now, the text, I want you to go back up to verse 17, put verse 17 back up there and listen to this. This verse here tells us, watch this, it tells us the power of our viewpoint. The what?
The power.
The power of our viewpoint. It says, watch this now, it says, for our light affliction. Now that's interesting. Paul says his affliction was what?
Light.
Now this is the same guy who in 2 Corinthians communicated that he had been stoned, he had been beaten with rods, he had been put in prison, he had been run out of town, he'd been persecuted, and yet he called it what?
Light.
He said, my trouble is light. He said, what I've been going through, and think about your day didn't have none of that in it. Nobody whipped you, nobody stoned you, nobody ran you out of town. Nobody, I don't think they did. Nobody ran you out of town. And yet he had went through all that, and he said, for my light, what?
Affliction.
He called it light. And then he says it's for what?
Moment.
He says it's temporary. Right? And then he says it's working for us. So the things that he was going through, he said, it's working for me a far more exceeding internal weight of glory. Right? So now watch this. The power of our viewpoint determines the weight of our challenges in life. Can you see that? Our viewpoint going to determine whether the weight of our challenges, right? Our viewpoint will also determine the duration of our challenges. But for a moment, the duration. And then thirdly, the viewpoint will determine the outcome of our challenges. Whether what you're going through will work for you, or will it work against you? So what's the key to the thing? The key is verse 18. Put verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are, while we do not, the word while could be better translated when we do not look at the things which are seen. So let me ask you, here's what the text is telling us. When we, watch this now, do not look at the things which are seen, then the challenges are going to be light, shorter, and we win in them. Can you see that? So what is the converse? What is the opposite? If we look at the things which are seen, then our challenge is going to be what? Going to be heavy, last a long time, and we're going to get beat up by them. Now, all I want you to see now is that text is talking about the power of our viewpoint.
That's right.
We wonder why life sometimes seems so heavy. It's because of what we're looking at.
That's right.
Lord, am I going to ever get over this? Am I ever going to deal with this? It has a the duration has a lot to do with what we're looking at. Whether things work for us or against us will be determined by what we're looking at. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. You may say, Lord Jesus. So the question is, what are you looking at? Are you looking at things which are seen, or are you looking at things which are not seen? Well, that's hard, Pastor. No, it's not. Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay. This also, the text also communicates three assumptions. It communicates, verse 17 to 18, communicates to us, number one, that we have two sets of eyes. Because the Bible says that we don't look at things which are seen. That means we're looking at something with a different set of eyes. And then if we're looking at things that are seen, it's naturally we're looking at these eyes. So let's look at Luke chapter 16. Let's look at these two set of eyes that we have. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fair sumptuous every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar what?
Died.
And was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. Watch this now. And the rich man also
died.
The rich man also
died.
The rich man also
died.
Watch this. And was
buried.
Okay, question. What was buried? Don't look for nothing deep. Don't look for nothing deep. The Bible said the rich man was died and was buried. What was buried? His body was buried, right? Okay, his body was buried. Now look at the next verse. It came to pass that he died and was buried. And verse 23, and he lifted up his
eyes,
being in and
seeing.
So let me ask you a question. I thought we just buried this dude. Right? And you said that his body was buried. That means his eyes were buried. Right? But here we see him in a whole different arena. And the Bible says he lifted up his
eyes.
But I thought we just buried him. I thought we just buried him. So it tells me that there's a different set of eyes. Can you see that? He was buried, his body was buried, but here he lifted up his eyes, which tells us that he had another set of eyes. Right? And the Bible said he saw with these eyes, and you have two sets of eyes. You have these physical eyes that I'm looking at, but really I can't see you. The real you is on the inside of this body. The real you is a spirit, and your spirit has eyes. Your spirit has ears. Okay? You following me? Okay. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 also assumes that things exist in two forms. They exist in how many forms?
Two forms.
Let's see. Can we prove that? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what?
Things
what?
Things
what? Things what? Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are?
Seen.
Things which are?
Seen.
Things which are?
Seen.
Now, notice things which are seen. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Things not seen. So right away, we see that things exist in two forms. There's some seen things, and there are some not seen things. There are some visible things, and there are some invisible things. Stay with me. Stay with me now. Stay with me. So things exist in two forms, right? So question. The chair that you're sitting in, is, don't look for nothing deep now. You know, in church, we be looking for some real deep answer. Real deep. I'm very simple, okay? I'm very simple. Very simple. The chair that you're sitting on is what kind of thing? Okay, it is a what kind of thing? It's a seen thing. It's a visible thing, right? Okay, question. Does God have a throne? Look at you. Does God sit on a throne?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at it. Let's see. Can we find it? Let's see. Can we find it? It says, and I saw the right hand of him, this Revelation 5:1, the right hand of him that sat on the
throne.
Let's look at the next text. Let's look at the next text so we can find out who is this. And this other hill, and Lord, great multitude, which no man could number, all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues stood upon the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, next verse, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon a throne. So right away, we see that God sits on a throne. Right?
That's right.
Right?
Right?
Right? So let me ask you a question. What kind of thing is the throne that God is sitting on? Y'all look at me. Okay. Things exist in two forms, right? They're seen things, not seen things. They're visible things, invisible things. You said the chair that you're sitting on is what kind of thing?
Seen.
It's a seen thing. So the chair, the throne that God sits on is what kind of thing? What is it? How do we know it exists? No. Okay. So we know it exists because the word says it. So we cannot validate it with our physical senses. We can't touch it. We can't see it. We can't sit on it. But you believe that it exists?
Yes.
And what, come on, you know, I have to be repeated some things. Why you believe it exists? You can't see it.
I believe the word.
Come on, you can't see it. You're telling, oh, so you're telling me you believe something you can't see?
Yes.
For real? Okay, let me take a survey. How many of you really believe that God sits on a throne? Okay. So you actually believe this, and you've never seen it.
Right.
So how you know it exists if you've never seen it? No. How you know? How do you know?
Faith.
How do you know? Talk to me now. Y'all acting like slow class. Okay. Huh? But you never seen it. What proof do you have? Oh, so the word is the proof of what you cannot see. Okay, well, let's work with that. Write that down. So you're telling me the word is the proof of what you cannot see. Is that what you're telling me? That the word, so the only proof you got is the word, but you believe it. Right?
Right.
Okay. I just want to know whether we're on the same page. So let me ask you another question. So is the throne that God sits on as real as the chair you're sitting in?
Yes.
It's real?
Okay.
I just want to make sure. I think it's more real. She said, yeah, because the chair going away. Yeah, the chair ultimately will deteriorate because it's a natural material thing. But I think God's throne is more real than the chair you're sitting in because God's throne existed before the chair that you're sitting in was created. God and the things of heaven existed before anything was created in the earth because God had to exist before the earth was created. So that tells me that things which are not seen are more real than the things that you can see. So what have we established so far? Because we're making some good ground. We've established, we got two sets of eyes. We've established that things exist in two forms. And the third assumption is that there must be two worlds. It must be two worlds. So let's see what the scripture says in Colossians. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the visible and
invisible.
So right there we see that there are two worlds, heaven, which is the invisible world of the spirit, is where God lives. And we see that there's earth, the visible, natural world. So heaven is a real place. Come on, say heaven is a real place.
Heaven is a real place.
Just like earth is a real place. How do we know that heaven is a real place, though? How many of y'all believe that there's a heaven? Okay, how do you know it? Okay, you believe it because the word says it? That's why you believe it, even though you've never been there. You know anybody been there? Came back to tell you about it?
No.
Okay.
Nobody came back to tell me.
Huh?
Nobody came back to tell me, but I believe it.
So nobody came back and told you about heaven, but you believe that it's a real place. And why? Why you believe that?
Because of faith.
Okay. So, you know, y'all, I'm learning something. This has been very interesting to me. I'm discovering that you all are believing in something that you cannot see, and y'all seem adamant about it. Y'all seem like you know it. I mean, it's almost like you are certain of it, and yet the only proof that you have is what the word says. So I don't think that this is very difficult to understand. I brought my remote. Anybody ever use a remote? Okay. How do we know what's going on in heaven? How do we know what's there? How do we know what's available? We know what's available because the word says it. That's the only way we know, but we believe it. Don't we?
Yes.
Now, here's a remote. Anybody ever use a remote?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say that on this remote, and we got DirecTV, I don't know what you got, but we got DirecTV, and it's a little guide on there. And if I want to know what programs are airing, all I got to do is push that little thing and poof, it pop up. And I can see what's airing, programs that are airing, and I can see what time and what stations. Listen carefully now. Those programs are airing whether I have a remote or not. Right? How many of you don't have cable? Do you like basketball? You watching the playoffs? Why? You don't have time. You don't have cable either, too. Okay. Watch this. But I'm teaching something. So I've been watching the games. They're on TNT, and they're on ESPN. I've been watching the games, but you're not watching the games, but they're still airing. And even if you had cable TV, if you was on ABC watching American Idol, the games would still be airing simultaneously. You watching American Idols, but the games are on TNT, even though you're not connected to it. So there are things that are happening simultaneously while you or watching something else, something is airing here. They don't stop airing because you're not watching them. Right? Right? All you got to do is get cable, get your remote, right? And you can tune into it. Right? The way we know what's airing in heaven, this is our remote.
Okay. Okay.
There are some programs airing in heaven. Healing is airing in heaven. Deliverance is airing in heaven. Prosperity is airing in heaven. Victory is airing in heaven. It's going on all the time. You may not have cable. You may not have the word, but it's still airing.
That's right.
You may even be on the wrong station. but it's still erring. And the only way you're going to know what's going on is this. So if you don't have the word of God, you don't have a remote. You're not connected. And that's what many Christians are. They're not really connected. They're trying to pray it out. They're trying to what? Pray it out. But they don't know what's erring. Because this is your God. This is the only way you're going to know what's happening. I believe if Christians, put up Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 for me. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Where?
In glory.
Where?
In glory.
So this verse says that our supply doesn't come from this earth. Our supply didn't come from this earth. Our supply come from that other world. Now, many Christians, they don't have time for this, though. Because they're trying to get their needs met. But our supply doesn't come from this world. Our supply come from his riches in glory, from that other world. Wow. 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 So what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Now listen, listen at this. Listen at this. There's an effect to your viewpoint. You can always, at any given time, know what we're where you are. You can know when you're in faith. You can know when you're not in faith. Because your viewpoint will affect five things. It will affect your mental state. It will affect your outlook. It will affect your behavior. It will affect your motivation and your endurance. Let's look at that for a minute. My viewpoint will affect my mental state. What's your attitude? Are you negative about what's going on, or whether you're positive? If you're negative, it's because of what you're seeing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Now watch this. Your viewpoint is going to also affect your outlook, your expectation for the future. The people commit suicide because their outlook is bleak. That's why people kill themselves. They kill themselves because they have no expectation of the future being any better than right now. Because your viewpoint, the way you're looking at things, is going to impact your outlook. It's going to impact your behavior, how you respond. Your energy level. What you're looking at is going to affect your energy level. The reason why we walk around a long time drained, like, you know, I'm just tired. Because we're connected to what's going on in our natural arena. If we were connected to that other world, the Spirit of God will be quickening our bodies. The Spirit of God will be giving us supernatural strength. But we're more connected to this natural world, and we're looking at this natural world more than we're looking over in that other world. Watch this. It affects our motivation, our willingness to continue, our enthusiasm. Christians should be the most enthusiastic people on the planet. Boy, I tell you, I ain't getting no amens on that now. But Christians should be the most enthusiastic people on the planet. Why? Because we're not looking at things just from here. Does that make sense? It should also affect our endurance, our ability to hold on to the promise and not quit till the manifestation come. Your viewpoint, the vision, what you're looking at has a powerful impact on your life. So you can know at any given time whether or not you're operating by faith or you're operating by sight. Let's look at one last illustration before we close. You get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Supposed to get just one thing, at least one thing. Let's look at a text. I want you to see this text. And I want to kind of give you the summarize a little bit. Bible says that that the Syrians were plotting against Israel. And every time the Syrians tried to overcome Israel, Israel would know what was going on. And they would move in a different direction. So the king of Syria said, somebody in our camp is snitching. They said, no, nobody's snitching. They said, there's a prophet over there in Israel, and he's telling them our battle plans. So the king of Syria said, we're going to go down there, and we're going to kill that prophet, Elijah. We're going to surround him, and we're going to kill him. Now, this is what's happening. In verse 13, he says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Next verse. Therefore sent he there the horses and chariots and a great host, and they came that night and compassed the city about. Watch this. And when the servant of the man of God, Gehazi, went out that morning, he rose up early, he went forth, and behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now watch this. So Gehazi, Elisha's servant, got up one morning, get some water. He looked around and saw the city surrounded by enemy troops. He was frantic. He was nervous. He was intimidated. He was overwhelmed. He was suicidal. He ran to the master and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Watch this. And the servant, Elijah answered, fear not. Now watch this. Fear not. Why? For they that be with us. That's new math, isn't it? Yeah, that's you know, they got a new math now. And so the Gehazi said, that must be that new math, because Elijah said, hey, guys, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid, because there's more with us than with them. And Gehazi said, okay, one, two. And then he started counting 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000. One, two. And there's more with us than with them. That's new math. So watch this. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. That's a strange request, because his eyes were already open. That's why he was terrified, because of what he saw. Wasn't he? He didn't walk out there blind. So that's a strange thing to ask. Open his eyes that he may. Now watch this. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he
saw.
And behold, the mountain was full of those were angels surrounding the whole group. Right? Okay, I want to ask you a question. When did the angels show up? So the angels were already there. So God didn't create the angels. They were already
there.
Even though he couldn't see them, they were
already there.
So really, the opening up his eyes was his spiritual eyes, so that he could see what was already there. Okay. I got a couple of comments that I want to make, and then I'm going to let you go. You sit here, and I got you on record. And you sit here and you said you believe God got a throne. You never seen it. Mm-hmm. You say you believe it. No, just because the word says it.
Yeah.
And you sound adamant about it. I mean, just all confident about it. You said that you believe it's a heaven, and you never went to heaven, never talked to anybody who went to heaven, have no proof anybody went to heaven. And you sit up and look me in my face and tell me that you, it's almost like you getting all hostile about it. I know it's a heaven. No doubt about it. And yet you have no proof but God's word. Well, let me ask you a question. What if there's other things in heaven? What if there's other things in heaven other than his throne? What if everything you need to be successful in life is already there? What if God doesn't have to create anything? He's already created. And what if it's already there? What if you can believe that there's a throne there, there's a heaven, why can't you believe your needs are not met? Why can't you believe that? Why can't you believe heaven is, healing is not there? Why you can't believe deliverance is not there? Why you can't believe a job is not there, a house is not there? If you can believe one thing, you can believe the other things. Right? So listen at this. Two statements. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Isn't that true? Listen at this. And this is something that God taught me years ago. Just because it looks like you're losing doesn't mean you are. When the Spirit of God said this to me and quoted this to me and quickened this to me, it was 30 some years ago, and I was losing in every area of my life. I was struggling physically, stomach hurting every day. Get up, my stomach hurting every morning because I was worried. I was struggling in my marriage, and I've been married almost 40 years now in August, but I was struggling. I didn't want to go home, and Pete didn't want me to come home. I was struggling financially. I was struggling in ministry. People were staying away by the thousands. You could take a bowling ball, put it in any hand, throw it in any direction, not heal a soul. You can come on our parking lot, park any kind of way you want to. You can park sideways. You can just, you can leave your door open. I mean, you can do anything you want. Plenty of space. I was struggling in every area of my life. And the Lord let me know, just because it looked like I was losing, did not mean I was. What he needed for me is to stop focusing on what was happening in my natural experiences and start focusing on what he said in his word. Because just because you cannot see it does not mean it doesn't exist.